Hey, Cleaning Nation, ever listen to the show and think, if I could just get this guy to help me out, I would save so much time and frustration, or my life would be awesome if I could just get a few of these systems they're actually talking about actually implemented into my business? Well, if that's you, I've got some spectacular news. I am hosting our first ever live event. We are personally going to walk through the Clean Profit Method with no more than 16 owners and cleaning companies in just 2.5 days. I cannot wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method together. If this is scratching where you itch, stop watching or listening to the show right now and go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details. Like I said, I can't wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. Cleaning Nation, welcome to this episode of Cleaning Amazingness. You've all been so fantastic by sharing the show with the known cleaning universe, as well as subscribing, rating, and reviewing on podcast. I always want to thank the people personally that are kind enough to leave us a review on iTunes. So if that's you, just give me a shout out in the Facebook group so I can personally thank you and maybe even send you a gift. If you want the latest and greatest on how to get the financial freedom, the time freedom that probably got you into the cleaning business, everything we've got, over 3 years of content on exactly how and what to do and when to do it, is at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out right now and make sure to give me a shout out in the Facebook group. Today, we are chatting with David Elam from the Joy of Clean. David has been serving the Dallas area for just over a year with mostly residential. If you want to reach out to David, you can get a hold of him at www.thejoyofcleandallas.com. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background, man. Is this your full-time gig? Is it part-time? How'd you wander into the cleaning business? What's your story, friend?
Yeah. So it is currently part-time. We're hoping to transition to full-time within the next couple of months. But a quick background, my wife and I were missionaries in Mexico for about 15 months, mostly spanning 2015. Is that right? 2015. Yes.
So the only reason we're not doing this is Spanish is because one of the people on the call is not cool and bilingual. Is that what I hear you saying?
Basically.
Dang it. All right, I don't want to say which one because we don't want to shame that person, but now we know where we stand. So go right ahead, my friend. Me and amigo.
Yeah. So before that, I've been teaching guitar for about 15 years and I had a lot
of Spanish or Spanish guitar, or English guitar.
Well, English guitar mostly.
Okay, mostly. Got it. Just want to be clear for everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I've been a professional musician and done a lot of different things, but I'd always kind of honestly struggled to grow my own studio. I had a lot of really good jobs that I sort of gave away when we went to Mexico. I mean, we kind of sold everything and it was just like, we thought, you know, we were going to be gone for a longer and we got back and we were just like, we need to make money. And so my wife was, she was like, I'll clean houses. And a good friend of hers has been doing it for like 20 years and kind of coached her through some of the bidding and different things. And so she just advertised a little bit on Facebook and got, you know, a decent amount of houses for what she could do by herself. And was like, awesome. And so she kept doing that for about a year. But then we were like, I tried to do an internet teaching business last year. And that didn't go so well. And so we were really like, okay, like we've got to do something different, you know? And so we prayed about it. I mean, we're Christians and my wife had this really weird dream. I know this sounds crazy. My wife had this weird dream and she was like, I don't know what this means. And so we had a chat with my pastor one day and basically we realized that God was telling us, like, focus on the cleaning business. Like, that's really where your money is, you know? And so we were like, awesome. So we got really excited, really pumped. And so that was in December, and now we're just, like, slowly growing. But we really want to, you know, we're part of the Clean Profit Method now and just, you know, trying to get going with implementing everything and implementing the systems. But anyway, that's probably – too long of an intro, but that's kind of how it happened.
Awesome. No, I love the background story, and it is fun to see how we serve so many different people. And I want to encourage everyone listening. Certainly, we focus on owners of cleaning companies, and this is a proven method. Everything we coach is stuff that I've coached lots of people to do and have had success to grow a cleaning business. But David had mentioned, you know, teaching guitar, having a studio, looking at an online business. Most, if not all, of these concepts will work in other businesses. So my goal is not just, I mean, I certainly want to help you all grow your cleaning companies, but to equip owners and entrepreneurs for life. So these things, you know, my first business was a cleaning business. Since then, I had a car dealership, a construction company, manufacturing company. Certainly this, you know, this coaching, you know, grow my cleaning company is a digital company. So just encourage that these are concepts that are going to work in lots of different stuff. Okay. That said, what's shaking in your world today that can help you with, my friend?
Well, we kind of a burning question I've had lately is about our niche. And so I know that that's really important. It's definitely scary. I'm sure all the listeners kind of share that same fear. Like, if I niche down, is it really going to work? You know, but it was funny because we found that one of the areas that we serve, I'm sorry, I should say it this way. Most of our clients have ended up coming from this one certain neighborhood, and it's what they have a golf club, and it's a more affluent neighborhood, pretty close to our house actually, and it's huge. I mean, there's a ton of houses, and so we decided, let's just grow there, let's just plant our feet there. I recently became a member of the Chamber of Commerce of that little town. I'm doing other things, networking and stuff, just to try to build relationships, and I'm starting to build a lot of relationships that are connected to that neighborhood. And then we've had really high customer satisfaction there, super loyal clients.
Okay, hold on. Good background. I want to make sure I get to you. We're going to run out of time, and we'll have your question. Like, great, we're out of time. So what? Yeah. I got the background. Give me your question. How can I help?
Gotcha. So my question is it, am I unwise or am I foolish to just pick one neighborhood and just try to grow there and really brand ourselves in that neighborhood and try to get as many clients as possible? I mean, try to clean every house there. Is that a dumb idea?
No. Is the okay, good, we're done. No, it's a great idea. All right, on to the lightning round. Okay, just in case that's not quite enough for everybody, let's talk a little bit more about that. But the quick answer is no, that's absolutely on par. I don't want to get off on a tangent because, again, we do have time, but my guess is the internet business you had would have been more successful or easier or less stressful had you been much more niche. So,
right. And I learned that on the back end. I was like, my messaging should have been more niche, you know?
Right. So just real quick, we'll do a quick, like 30 seconds. What was the site, or what was the title? What was your, just give me a one sentence overview.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was davidjelam.com, but I really just did a lot of like Facebook videos.
Who were you teaching? What were you teaching?
Yeah. So I was really just teaching kind of a beginner to intermediate guitar players that really want to learn the fretboard in kind of a rock.
Perfect. Rock. Perfect. So super big. I'm guessing there's 1,000 people in that space. You, not that you wouldn't have succeeded if you had enough time and money, right? But right. You're probably lacking in one or both of those, and said, forget it. So it's not that you failed. You just said, I'm not the pain that it's going to take to get where I want. I don't want to do that pain. And I'm totally making this up because I don't know the space. I think you'd have been far better to serve 7th and 8th grade guitar players that want an A. Like, and I'm just making that up because... Yeah. But that's, see how much more specific that is in terms of, oh my gosh, that's mean. They have a total different pain than college students that want to play in a band and make $100 a week or $100 a gig. Like that, oh my gosh, that's so much more specific. Or how to pick up chicks with guitar, you know? And again, I'm not that that's a healthy, maybe it is, I have no idea. But see what I'm saying? That's so much more specific, and people are like, oh, that's so hard. Well, trust me, you would have at least gained traction there. And then guess what? Once you do one of those, then you can expand. But if you start big and you get no traction, have no money, then there's nothing you can do. And most people will start big and then realize this doesn't work and shrink down. So I just try and help you reverse the process, shrink at the beginning, and then feel free to go wide.
Yeah.
So once you start getting success, which will happen much, much faster when you have a niche, this isn't until you die, right? This is for your focus for the next 6 months. And if someone comes with a wad of cash and is a nice human and wants to throw that money at you to clean something that you're willing to clean, I'm not saying you throw them out on their ear. You're just spending zero time and money focusing on those human beings. Okay. So with that background, let me just kind of give you the 4 or 5 steps to pick a niche, and we'll contextualize those within what you're trying to do. All right. Okay. first, and people always glaze over, like, yeah, Mike, you're on your dang soapbox again. I've heard it, but I have to say it every time because it counts every time. Pain. If your people have pain, it's a good niche. That's not true. We're getting there. That's you're more than half the battle. So yeah. Do these people have as much or more pain as other people that you could serve in terms of not my house is really dirty as opposed to somewhat dirty. It's how they feel about the dirty house.
Okay.
So you tell me lots of on a pain level of 1 to 10. And again, we're not brain surgeons or orthopedic surgeons where we could have literal pain of 10. We're a house cleaner. So within the universe of customers you could pursue, right? 10 being the most customers in the most pain that are within your world, right? You can't compete with doctors. They have literal pain. Where would they be?
From 1 to 10?
Yep. 10 being there are no customers that have more pain than them that you could serve. 1 being they have no interest in cleaning whatsoever.
Yeah, I would say maybe 6 or 7. And I say that because when I walk into their houses, they don't, not all of them, some of them, yes, but not all of them have this like huge pain where we walk into the house, we walk into some houses and it's like super dirty and you can tell that there's kids everywhere. Right.
Hold on. So perfect point. The condition of their house, almost not relevant because it could be perfect. And you're like, these people have no pain. You don't know. Maybe they just spent 17 hours cleaning because it's really important that if any stranger comes to their house, even the person they're going to pay to clean, they'll go nuts if their house isn't clean. So the pain is within their heart. There are some people that would be filthy. I remember when we were younger, my wife went to my ex-wife, just so no one thinks my current wife has a situation. Her family was half a hoarder. Before we knew what hoarders were, they just had junk everywhere. She went and cleaned everything for them 1 week and got them out, made the whole house brand new. We're like, this is going to change their lives. Yeah. It was the same in a week, right? They had no pain. They wouldn't have paid a nickel to have it cleaned. So the condition of the house is not indicative, really the condition of their heart. And the pain is not, it's really dirty, it's somewhat dirty, it's how they feel. So if I'm a young urban professional male and I'm, you know, trying to find a wife and dating, and if I feel like, oh, if I bring them home to my gross house with Cheetos all over the place, they're going to be disgusted by me. That's a big pain, right? And again, my house could be clean because it's sparse, but I could still have a lot of pain. And you could see some dump that has, like, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I would be in tremendous pain, but it's indicative they have no pain, right? They're living their life. They don't even know what a rat hole they're living in. So we'll move on, but I would wait at least half on pain. And if I don't have a 7, I'm not going to do it. And I'd ask them. So just say, hey, well, I'm thinking about focusing on you guys. Do you care? And if right. they go, yeah, it'd be nice. And you get that over and over, kill it. That's not the niche for you. If they start saying, oh my gosh, you have no idea. I work all the time. My husband's going to kill me. We're going to get divorced if I don't get this solved. Not that we're happy about their divorce, but we're certainly happy we can help them. Like now we're mending relationships, not just, you know, cleaning toilets, right? So pain is easily half, if not 3/4. Okay. Second of them is they have to have the money. And that's a pass fail. So the pain is.
I lost your audio.
There I am. Sorry about that. My big fat finger. I can't touch anything. I was moving in the notes. Anyway, long story short. All that to say, so pain is gradient, right? Some people have some, you know, different people are going to have different amounts. You just want overall that them to have pain. Having money is pass fail. Either they can afford your services or they can't. Once they make over a certain amount, if they're multimillionaires versus they only make $200,000 a year, really makes no difference for you, right? It's not like you're selling jets. Either they can fail, they can afford it or not. So if they have money, that's a pass fail. If they don't have money, then there's not like, well, we're going to hold that against them. Well, then they're out. If they can't pay for your services, you're just going to frustrate them by saying, hey, I can solve your pain. If you have money, they're like, well, I don't have money. Well, now you've done that. You've hurt them, not helped them. So pain is the first thing. You have to have pain or forget it. Money is just a pass fail. Can they afford it? If so, move on. If not, stop. Are there enough of them? And again, enough of them do their goals. I love that you're like, there might be a couple thousand. Well, let's think about that. If you look at Dallas and there's, I don't know, 1.5 million, couple million people, I'm guessing, in the Dallas metro area.
8 million.
Okay, millions. And you might say, well, I want to do $1 million business. Well, that's like 300 customers, 400 customers. So it's like, do you really need to market to all 8 million to get? It drives me nuts. People have like 17 customers. Like, I want to go to another city. I'm like, really? Because they're all out of people to clean. And so long story short, let's say this year you want to pick up 100 customers, $250 a month, $25,000 a year, a little $300,000 business. Great. Mm-hmm. Can you do that in this space? If the answer is yes, then it's a great niche. If the answer is no, it's like, can I get close? It's like, yeah, I can get close. Okay, then it might be a niche for 6 months as opposed to a year. So again, we don't need people. When I say, do you have enough of them? I'm talking more to commercial that they're like, I want to do daycare. I'm like, great. How many are there? 7. Well, okay. That is great. But even if you got all of them, which is very hard to do, not great. All right. Next. So those are the requirements. There's got to be enough of them. They have to have pay and they have to have money. Here's the bonus. You enjoy working. Bonuses, you're able to speak. You enjoy working with them as human beings. Quite frankly, in the cleaning business, I'll just watch how this works for me, how you guys can see how I made the decision. Tremendous amount of pain, hardest working folks I know, lots of pain to, and not just pain to buy mansions and Ferraris, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I get more joy. You know, I got a 2013 Kia Sorento. I can afford more. This is what we drive. I don't really care too much about it. My dirty secrets. Every time we go to an event where I'm speaking or something, if it's local, I'm always like, oh man, they expect me to be in some sort of Mercedes and I feel like a jerk driving this. And I want to tell them like, I have money. I promise. I just, this is important to me. So anyway, that's the insane person you're listening to.
I gotcha.
So anyway, I have no idea what I was even talking about. Oh, so pain you guys have. Check, and double check. Enough of them? Barely. You're a small, tiny market, but I love you enough. I'm like, we're going to make it fit and make it work. And the other thing is, again, I don't need the money particularly. So if we can't do as big, it's not the end of the world. And you don't particularly have money, right? A lot of them are broke. They're just starting. So honestly, not the best niche on paper. But for me, I know what I want to do and enjoy working with them. You guys are tens. I just love the people that I work with. You guys are so cool. Doesn't feel like work at all. So you can kind of gradate that where you want. For me, not that I'm allergic to money, but that's not my primary focus for what I do. So I can weight that real heavily. If you're like, hey, I got kids to feed and this is our primary residence, certainly you don't want to deal with bad people or evil people or people that you hate, but I'm probably going to weight that a lot less, right? I'm going to go more to, hey, they got to have money. They got to have pain. There's got to be enough of them. So the enjoy working with them, you kind of pick depending on what your overall goals are. For me, that's like half of it, right? I would just, I could make so much more money if I went and help owners of car dealerships. I don't particularly like those people. So I'm with you. Sorry, you're stuck. You know, you could have got someone better. And then two quick little mini bonuses after you solve all that, and then we got to hit the lightning round. If you're like them, if you've got a community, like I used to own a cleaning company. It's not a requirement, but it sure the heck helps, right? So if you live in this community with them, that's helpful. If they're all dual income working professionals with 2.5 kids and pets, that's helpful. Not required, but it certainly doesn't hurt, right? Like if you've got a background in guitar, that would be a community you could help clean for, right? There are probably not enough of them. They probably don't have enough money so that they don't, you know, that I wouldn't act missionary, same thing, but I wouldn't pick them because they fail in the other categories. Yeah. And then last is you already know them. If there's an in, like, oh, I live here. I know a realtor who's got 20 of them. Those are bonus. A lot of people start with them. I know a guy who can get me into a bunch of them. So that's my niche, but they don't have any pain. They don't have any money. So they do it at the end. So these are bonuses. Once you've picked a good niche, these are extra little like, oh, great, even better. Not the way you start. Okay. We've got to hit the light you're on because I'm dying to get your feedback and we've got to move on. So three quick questions, three quick but amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received personally or professionally?
I guess it's really personally and professionally. Do it scared. I know that sounds really just generic.
Sounds smart to me.
But yeah, that's one thing I really learned with my internet business. Even though it didn't go where I wanted it to, I absolutely made myself do all the things that I was scared to do. And it was amazing. It was such an amazing breakthrough for me personally. And it really literally changed my life. So face your fears. That's huge.
I'm actually going to give you lightning round answer of the month. Dave and I were speaking yesterday and we kind of talked about this tangentially. I would literally say half my job, it's everyone's like, what do I do? How do I do it? And I love sharing that. But believe it or not, the guys and gals that succeed are the ones that do it scared. Like when I say do this, I'm like, that's scary. I don't want to do that. I'm like, I'm aware. If it was easy and everyone wanted to do it, we'd all be millionaires. But that's where the opportunity is. So from my end, being a coach of it, as opposed to walking through it or just, you know, from a different perspective, that's huge. The folks that do things they are afraid of succeed. The people that are unwilling to step out in faith. And I love that David said, it didn't go where I wanted. That's, believe it or not, I still think that you got more value, and I don't know what it cost in terms of time and money that was not recuperated. But I'm guessing you still got a positive return on your investment because you were able to do that. Like, I still remember when I was in wrestling 2-a-days, right, where we'd go do crazy stuff, and I still have that discipline from 20 years ago. And same with the Army, right? That's why boot camp isn't tea and crumpets, right? They kick the crap out of you because they know on the battlefield you're going to need that. So I think that's great. Do it scared is just fantastic. All right. Biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so far so we can all learn from one another?
Probably just underbidding. I mean, we've gotten a lot better at that, but I think in the beginning that was definitely an issue.
Common. And the first step is knowing you have a problem. So good. I'm glad that you're there. All right. Last question. What's one idea, as simple as it needs to be, that Clean Nation can put in practice and even just get a small benefit to make their life or their business even a little better, but something easy to implement they can do right away as soon as the show's over?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I think one thing that's helped me a lot personally in our business is, and this may not be simple, something you can do right now, but just going and doing some kind of local networking and building local relationships. Like the internet business, internet marketing is amazing and it can get you a lot of leads. But I think building those relationships and building trust within a community, a small community, can really help you. It can help brand you and help get you more of a name within a small community and just help you get known faster, I think.
Agreed. And that's part of the reason you do niches, right? Like, does it make sense to do one little community if there's 100 of them that you're dealing with? No. If this is your whole world, absolutely, right? So I couldn't agree more. And the way to break that down into something small is, as soon as this podcast is over, Google BNI, Business Networking International, maybe? I'm not sure. Not associated with them, but that can be a good place. Google Chamber of Commerce. Even more important, the best thing you can do is Google something where your people are. So this association or this home area that you're in, if you live in it, join the Homeowners Association, for crying out loud. Serve on the board. Be the president. If they've got free, and trust me, everybody needs help. There's always like, you need free help. Good Lord, well, they'll put you to work right away. Go, you know, if you've got a niche, this is easy. Just find out where they are and then go there and just eyeball, eyeball, belly to belly, smile at them like a human being. And that'll do probably more for your business than most of the marketing stuff we talk about. All right, David, thank you for joining us and sharing your story and just how transparent you've been. I love your passion. I love your desire to grow. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out David's show notes page and all the cool, super fantastic, amazing things that we create for you every day to help you grow your cleaning company. There's so much valuable stuff to help you get the financial freedom that you want. It is all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.